as Harry would say. So here we are. It's so nice to have you all join us on this Mother's Day. What a special day. And moms, or if you're not a mom even, ladies, I just want to let you know this is going to be your best friend. Magic Root Cover Up. It really works. It really helps. Men can use it too. I don't have anything to cut Rod's hair, but this is a really good help. So that's become my best friend. But happy Mother's Day to everybody and welcome. And I just want to share some little funny things that I picked up and little quotes and sayings. It says, of course women don't work as hard as men because they get it right the first time. We don't have to repeat it. And behind every angry woman stands a man who has absolutely no idea what he has done wrong. And my husband's giving the thumbs up. I admire you husbands because honestly, we don't even understand ourselves. So how the heck are you supposed to understand us? That's why scripture is very clear in saying live with your wife in an understanding way. Makes life interesting for you. The other one is, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't have or I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them. Another one is, silence is golden unless you have kids. Then silence is just suspicious. I remember with my kids, boy, when there was silence, right now I would think, what are they up to? Another one, a good mother lets you lick the mixing beaters. A great mother remembers to turn off the beater. So just a few funnies for the moms. But what I want to talk about today is it's not what it looks like. And we're going to be going through John chapter 4 and sharing just how, if you just read it flatly, you're going to miss the things that are not really what it looks like. And I want to show you these pictures just to see. Here's a bird, and it looks like it has multiple legs, but it's actually the mom shielding the chicks, and it's the chicks' legs. And then we have another one, which is an apple. And some things are not as they seem. If you don't pay attention, you'll realize that this is actually an apple bearing an orange fruit. So it is not what it looks like. So we see in John chapter 4 how John takes us to a rest stop. Jesus actually goes and he actually pauses and takes a rest. So we're going to go through that. And we see that Jesus was leaving Judea and he was heading to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And you've got to understand that the Jews did not go to Samaria. They were at war with each other. And Jesus was, you know, there was war between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews didn't mix with the Samaritans. And the Samaritans, they regarded the Samaritans as unclean. And Jesus was fully aware of their condition. The Samaritans' condition was their mistakes, their failures. They didn't help rebuild the temple. When help was called, they were nowhere to be found. They were heathens, and they were of a very mixed multitude that were very confused. So he knew where they were at. And you know that Jesus was going out of his way to a group of people that everyone else had rejected. And isn't that so typical of the heart of the Father? Is those that feel so lost, so down, so rejected, he is constantly there reaching out. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we go to the story in John 4, and what Jesus does, the disciples are with him, but what he does is before he goes on, he sends the boys on a mission, on an errand, because sometimes, you know, even when people that are with you, sometimes they don't understand what God is really doing. So he sent them on a mission, and he knew that they would have messed up the mission because they were so indoctrinated with their preconceived ideas. He sends them off to go and get food. And you have to realize that sometimes some people are so religious that they miss the revelation. There are so many revelations within Scripture, but if you're going to look at it through a religious concept, you're going to miss the revelation of the Word of God. And that's the difference between religion and Christ followers, Christianity. I don't really like the word Christianity because a lot is labeled with it. I like Christ follower. We follow after Christ. So I have asked Amber to read John chapter 4, verses 3 to 18. And I'm very grateful. So Amber, thank you. If you can get your Bibles out, or get your iPads out, get your phone out, or get something out and go to John 4, verses 3 to 18, and this is from the New Living Translation for those that want to know.
So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. And the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet."
We see that Jesus was willing to sit all day to find one person who could break down the wall and get into Samaria, just one person. So thank you, Amber, for reading that for me. So nice to see your pretty face. And honestly, Ron and I miss everybody. It's just not the same. This is my second time of doing it, and I'm going to confess, I did it before and I really messed up, jumped ahead, and my sweet husband is sitting here doing it again with me. So this is take two, and hopefully we get through this one. But Jesus was willing just to find one person. So if you think, what can I do on my own? Who am I? I'm so insignificant. God can use you. Jesus can use you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. He is after just that one person. And you know that Jesus wasn't looking to talk to a magistrate or a leader when he was going to Samaria. He didn't pick out one of the religious scribes. He didn't wait for a man to arrive. He waits for a nameless woman. And that just really speaks volumes to me. She didn't even have a name. Scripture doesn't even give her a name. And she was a Samaritan and she was a woman. But I want to share with you Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And here we see Genesis 1 is when God created male and female in the spirit realm. Genesis 2 is when he actually creates them in the natural. And we're going to see when we get to the well, the difference between the natural and the supernatural, or the earthly and the everlasting. Genesis 1, he says that he created them, male and female, and God blessed them to have dominion over the earth. It's plural. So we see in verses in Genesis 1:26 and in Genesis 1:28 where he says, "Let them have dominion." God's plan was always for male and female, men and women, to walk side by side, to lead side by side, to govern side by side. Never for the man to be over the woman, or the man to be ahead and the woman to be behind. God is, we're equal. And Katia Adams has written a book called Equal, which I would really recommend you all read. And again, I'm not anti-men. I am not a women's liberal. I don't believe men are more superior than women. I don't believe women are more superior than men. I believe that we are equal, called equally to do God's job. So let's do it together. So I'm going to give you a synopsis of John 4, verses 7 to 20. And Jesus broke down racial barriers. And we see this, that he spoke to a Samaritan. They did not speak to each other. So he went across the racial bounds and decided, I'm going to break these barriers. He broke gender barriers. He spoke to a woman. He broke religious barriers. He was sharing God's heart over man's ideas. Man's ideas is it's not good for a Jew to be with a Samaritan, and it's not good for a male to be with a female, a male Jew to be with a female Samaritan. And you also see in the story that usually the women would go down to the well on their own. There would be a group of women going to collect water. And you see that this woman was on her own. She was an outcast because of her past. But Jesus saw through all of that and came to this woman. And you know, there was continued conflict between the Samaritans believed that the Jews had corrupted the Torah. The Jews believed that God had chosen them to be the leaders. So we'll see here in this map that the Jews worshipped at Mount Moriah and the Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim. I think that's how you pronounce it. Mount Moriah here, closer to the Dead Sea. Mount Gerizim here, closer to the Jordan River. So why on earth they had to separate? But because of this animosity, they could not be together. So, and we see that divide. And you know that that division exists today, not just in Jerusalem, but here in America. And we had the privilege of going to Jerusalem. We were just so blessed and honored. And we went to the quarters, and you can actually see, we walked the wall, and on that wall, you can actually see the difference between the four quarters as you walk. It's visible. So the first one is you have the Muslim quarter, and then you keep walking, you have the Christian quarter, you have the Armenian quarter, and you have the Jewish quarter. And even though there's this wall all in one city, it is divided, very divided. And we have a lot of that in our lives today. We are the United States of America. I love this country. I love that it is United States. And we need to do everything we can to keep it united. And it's just like Ron and I often say, as people are so concerned and so consumed with sharing their political ideas, their opinions, but that divides. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings unity to us. So religion divides. And you'll see that there's a lot of division between different churches, between different beliefs, or you can't get married here unless you are this religion, or it's just there's so much divide, and the world looks at it and they're like, we don't want to be a part of this. But with Jesus, he always unites. And that's why let's be Christ followers rather than religious followers. Let's allow the Jesus Christ in us to bring unity. You know, your opinion is your opinion. Your political stance, belief is your political stand and stance. But let's come into agreement with the message that we need to share, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings unity. Let's participate in unity rather than division. Let's bring people together rather than pull people apart. And I just have to throw this in here. All those of you that love to put your opinions and your comments on Facebook or wherever it is, and you know it's going to stir up animosity, don't do it. Honestly, don't do it. It's not worth it. It's caused division in relationships, marriages, friendships. Don't do it. Do everything you can to be an instrument of bringing together rather than separating. And you know that Jesus wanted to show that God is for everyone, that he's a uniter and not a divider. So let's reflect that. Jesus came to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. And here's the good news. In the kingdom, there's no racism. There's no division. In the kingdom, there is no gender divide. And in the kingdom, there is no ethnic divide. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. I love what Rod says. I wish that when we come into a country, you don't put what you are. Oh, I'm African American, I'm Asian, I'm whatever. We had to put alien. Why can't we just put I'm American, period? Black, white, brown, doesn't matter what color you are, we're American. Why does it have to be color? So I think that's a good suggestion too. But I think that's a very good suggestion of Roddy that he put in there. So he came that we might be one. Jew and Gentile. male and female. That's what he came for. You know, and we live in such divided times, so many barriers, but Jesus came to tear them down. And I love this thing, and I wanted to put it up. You may not be important to anybody else, but you are vitally important to him. So if you're sitting there and feeling, well, I'm not of any value, I'm not of any worth, you've got to know that you are. You are of great value and great worth to him. And that's all that matters. That's all that counts. So I'm going to read John 4 and carry on from where Amber left off, John 4, 19 to 42. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet, because he had told her about her life. You know, where's your husband? He asks. It's so funny because Jesus knew, but he doesn't accuse her. He asks a question. So she says, you must be a prophet. She says, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship, whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. So you have to understand here, he's not saying it's just in knowing him. It's knowing all about him. You can know about him, and everybody can just say, oh, this is what the word says, this is what the word says, but you don't really know him. A lot of people can have opinions about my husband, but they don't know him. And I didn't say this on the previous one, but I'm going to say it now. You can have a lot of opinions about the president, but do you know him? Have you met him? Have you spoken to him? I could say the same thing about the previous president. Did you know him? Did you meet him? Have you lived with him, worked with him, talked with him? But yet we have so many opinions. So I just had to throw that in there. That wasn't in the first one. So John 4, 19 to 42, we're going to pick up. So it says, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, because Jesus was here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is a scripture that's been really taken out of context, or people have added their religious ideas or put a lot of religious what you got to do in order to worship, and in order to worship in him spirit and truth. But the message, John 4:24, in the message says it and explains it very simply and shows the heart of what Jesus is actually saying here. And he says, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. So when he says worship me in spirit and in truth, he's saying come just as you are. Come with who you are. Don't try and pretend to be something you're not. Don't put on your religious jargon. Just come to me as you are with a pure heart. And that is true worship. Verse 25. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. So she still didn't get it yet that he was the Messiah. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. And once he'd done that, just then the disciples came back. And now you can see why Jesus sent them on an errand. Look at their response. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And I love how she left what she had received from Jesus was so important that she left her water jar and she ran with nothing to share everything. That just really gripped my heart. And Don Norman wrote a book on Come See a Man, which is really worth reading. I think we have a few. And here is the result of Jesus pausing, going to a people group that everybody else had rejected, going against what the religious leaders would have had him do. Speaking to a woman, taking time out with her, this is the result. It says many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus. And in verse 42, it said, now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Look at the results for seeing things that are not the way they seem. Jesus knew already. He had a vision in sight. What you saw in the natural, he saw way beyond in the spirit. And it's just, and you actually, if you read on, you'll see how they actually asked Jesus, can you stay? So here is two groups of people that couldn't stand each other, never mixed, and now they're begging Jesus, please stay. Such an incredible fruit and result of just seeing beyond what you see. So it's not what it looks like. I love this picture of this little squirrel. It's just not what it looks like. Rod and I go for walks, and we do keep our distance, and we laugh all the time at these squirrels. They are hilarious. So if you're feeling down, go for a walk and watch the squirrels. Okay, so the woman at the well, let's just go back. She'd already had an attitude. You've got to understand it's hard work. She had to go to this well. It was hot. Draw water just about every day and go back. Then come and do it again and go back. Just the same old repeat. So then Jesus comes up to her, sits down, and he says, please, can you get me some water? And I love what T.D. Jakes says. He says, that's the worst pickup line he's ever heard. Look at this through human eyes. We get so religious when we read the scripture that we miss the actual heart and what's going on. So she's a bit infuriated. It's like, well, you didn't even bring anything to put your water in. So, you know, how can you ask for water and you've got nothing to put it in? And then we see how she has a bit of a sarcastic attitude. And then I love what Jesus says to her. You know, she lashes out to him first. And then he says, you know that your people are my people, don't have any dealings with each other. And sometimes, you know, so here he's reaching out to a woman who's been rejected. She's been hurt. She's had five husbands, heaven help her. And now she's living with someone. You ever realized how sometimes the people that have been hurt the most are the hardest people to help? I've noticed that. And sometimes you reach out to them and they already have an attitude. Well, that's what it was like with this woman. And I'll give you an example. If someone's drowning, your intention is there to save their life, but you're actually putting your life at jeopardy because a drowning person will probably cause you to drown too because they're so afraid. So go and save them anyway. So we see that this woman starts out, she's sarcastic. Then she recognizes that Jesus is quite a reputable man, so she calls him Sir. Then when he shows her and speaks about her past that nobody else knows about, she recognizes him as prophet. And then at the end, she recognizes him and brings up the Messiah. So we've got to look at how it started out. She was sarcastic, and we have gradual revelation. Jesus didn't just arrive, guys, people. And go, I am Jesus, the Son of the living God. I am the Messiah. I am the prophet. This well that you are drawing from, Jacob's well, is actually part of my forefather's well. So lady, get me a drink. That was not his attitude. His attitude was one of love and one of gradual revelation. He got to know her. She let him get to know her. And it was gradual. So we have to understand, you can't, I love what Rod always says. We want to introduce people to Jesus, then we want them on the same day to fall in love with him, marry him, and spend the rest of their life with him. That's not how it works. We present the person, Jesus Christ, to people so they can get to know him, fall in love with him, then accept him as personal Lord and Savior. So it's a gradual revelation. So he goes from being an enemy and an alien to a Sir, and then he goes from a Sir to being a prophet, then from a prophet to being the Messiah. So we have to see that it's not what it looks like. It just isn't. And just to know, if we go back to Jacob's well, there's a phenomenal thing going on here. is that we see that, I mean, Jacob had dug the well. It was really deep. So we know in Israel, they love to, anything that's of religious value or is quoted, they will go and build a church on top of it. So in Israel, there's a church that the Greek Orthodox people have built, saying this is where Jesus was born. There's one that someone else's Catholics have built, saying, no, Jesus was born here. So they like to take something that's of scriptural value and build a church on it, make it religious. So here we see that, yes, Jacob's well, which today they do have a church built over it. But you look, the well was of the earth. It was of earthly value. You still had to keep going back every day and getting water. So here we have the natural well. Then we have the other well, which is the well of the Spirit. So and that was Jesus. So we actually have a well sitting on a well. The eternal well, the heavenly well sitting on the earthly well. And it's quite important to see the two as they work together. And you'll see that the earthly well was what she was drawing from. And then Jesus said to her, I can give you water, living water, where you will never thirst again. And either we can be taking from the well of the natural constantly, or we can be taking from the living water, the eternal well of Jesus, constantly, and never be thirsty again. So that was such an incredible synopsis of how he shows the living water as opposed to the natural water. And so she's so excited that she wants to just go and tell everybody that this man who knows my past, who I know is the Messiah, can give you that same living water that he's given to me. And you also need to be careful. There are traps in life where it's not what it looks like. I'm just going to give an example of when Rod and I first came here to Flagler Beach. We knew God gave us a twofold mandate. One was to plant a church here in Flagler Beach, and the other was to work with other pastors in the community, of which I am so grateful for all the other pastors. They get together, Rod meets with them. We communicate. I speak to some of the pastors' wives, and I just love how the body is coming together. That, because God is a uniter, not a divider. But it's when we came here, nothing was happening. And then we had five phenomenal offers, but it wasn't what it looked like. To Rod and I, it could have been, oh, this looks good. One was an offer where we would have a house, a salary, a car, things would be nice and comfortable. Another was somewhere else with housing as well. But it wasn't what it looked like because it wasn't what God wanted. So you've always got to understand that it's not what it looks like. All that glitters is not gold. You have to be careful of that. Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm not going to put my trust in anything else other than the name of the Lord my God. And some people have put their trust in other people and you've been disappointed. Some people have put their trust in their husbands. You've been disappointed. In their wives, in their children. Put your trust in the Lord and you will never be disappointed. So, it is not what it looks like. And I just want to share with you that we are equal in value, we are equal in worth, but we all have different functions. We are different, but every single one is equally as important. We might have different functions, but they are equally as important. So don't ever think that what you do, I often share of how Dorcas, who would sew for her community, died. And they missed her and needed her so much that they brought her back to life. Well, we didn't see too many prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. We didn't see them getting brought back to life. They weren't as important as the seamstress. I know my sister Dee would always say she'd rather stay dead than so. But everything we do is of value, is of worth. And make sure that you, whatever you are doing is to bring unity and not division. To bring people together and not to divide. So it is not what it looks like. So I just want to say thank you, moms. Happy Mother's Day. And also to those that want to be moms. You know, sometimes Mother's Day is not a very nice day for some people. And I met with a young girl yesterday, a lovely young girl who lost her father. Her father died, and then last year her mother died. And this is not such a happy Mother's Day. So I just said to her, stay home and just celebrate your mother's life. So for all those that have lost children, some of you, it's really, really pulls on your heartstrings. You've lost one of your children. It's not natural for parents to outlive their children. But I'm going to ask you, trust in Him and have a good day with Him and let Him take care of the rest. So if we can just pray. Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you that everything is not what it looks like. That if we have to look at this life, things can look pretty dismal, pretty out of order. But God, you're not taken by surprise. And just as John writes here that you paused, you came to a point where you were willing to take a rest in order for much to be accomplished. We, during this COVID-19, have taken a time to pause and reflect and rest in order to accomplish the greater purpose. And Father, that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And if any of you don't know Jesus or have not accepted Him, it's just so simple. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. I accept you into my life. I recognize you and I make you Lord and Savior over my entire being. Come into my heart, dwell in me, live in me and through me, in Jesus' name. So happy Mother's Day. Thank you to the Coastal Men for being such incredible men. And we just want you to have a wonderful day. Men, spoil the women. Even if they're not a mom, spoil them. So thank you. We love you.